Having been asked by the Pharisees, when is the kingdom coming? The kingdom of God. Jesus questioned them and he said, the kingdom of God is not coming by observation. You're not going to be able to see it by looking for it. For, nor will people say, oh, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is inside of you. It's an inner kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire one of the days of the Son of Man. You want to see the days you're experiencing right now, but you won't see it. You want to see it, but you won't see it. And they will say to you, behold, there it is, or behold, here it is. Don't go out after them, nor pursue them. Now, when people say, oh, God's over here. No, the glory is over here. And a lot of people run around the world looking for the glory of God. You don't have to. The kingdom isn't going to come like that. So a lot of people are, well, I don't have it here. I think I'll run over there. I think they're saying it's there for a while. Come on. God loves you. You don't have to run all over the world to find God. It is not hard. Why? Because the kingdom of God's within. You can talk to God anytime. So you don't have to worry about when he's coming back. Because they were asking, well, when's the kingdom of God coming on the earth? Now, gosh, I don't know what to say. It's almost time. I mean, I don't know how to say it. I'm just telling you where I am. Where I am is I'm finished. I'm finished with this world. I'm just excited about his return. And the world was this big when it started. It was just a thought in the mind of God. And then he spoke a word, boom. It in just a second, by the time I just said what I just said, all the planets were there and everything was there. Just that quick. So it's amazing how fast that little bitty speck, which he wasn't even there a second before, and then he spoke it into being. It wasn't him. He created something that wasn't him. And so God suddenly created the whole entire universe that quick. And people now know, scientists are now agreeing with the Bible. They're saying now, definitely the world had a beginning. Absolutely. Now we know the Bible says Alpha, that means beginning, and Omega, that means ending. So, and what they're saying now is we're heading further and further out. The universe is expanding, and it's not going backwards. So the way it started out, it was just nothing. And then quickly, you know, all those little particles, all the energy, just pure energy, and it just was like a fire, all fireball. It was like, you know, all squished down into nothing. The minute God spoke it, they didn't even know how this works. They only know that this is what happened. They don't know how it happened. Well, we do. Anyway, God just spoke it into being. And this is important. I want you to get a hold of this. And all of a sudden, it went like that and began to expand out, and it's still going out. It's turned now from red hot to blue cold. It's getting further and further out. It's not over with yet, but it's not coming backward. It goes about 1,000,000 miles per second. So that's how far the universe is spreading out. Anyway, and then it'll come to an end. And when there's an end, the antimatter will annihilate matter. You understand that? When God first created the world, there wasn't any matter. It was just pure energy. And all of a sudden, it attained some mass. Nobody knows how. But something attained mass. And then it had motion. And that E equals MC squared, all that stuff that Einstein did. And then all of a sudden, matter was created. And gravity began to pull together all of that. Now, there's a whole bunch of things unexplained there, like Where did gravity come from? And, you know, what held it all together? What glues the universe? Forget that. Forget that. They don't know that. We do. They don't. We already know the answer. But when all of that came together, and that all within a second, all of that happened in a second. That is, in universe time. You know, they think it's about 13 billion. And, you know, man was there about 9 billion. This is all nonsense, made-up stuff. But it's all right. They may get the time a little bit off. It's only been a few thousand years. But that's all right, because time warps. So there's no way they could get the time thing down. But they can do what's called relative sequencing. In other words, they don't know absolutely, but they do know relatively that this and then this and then this and so on. And they can tell that it's an expanding universe. All right. So God, here's the way I can explain it to you simple. There's all these things out there. Some are matter and some are antimatter. And when matter and antimatter come together, there's a big explosion. One wins and one loses. No possibility that antimatter and matter can coexist. They cannot. So like light and dark, good and evil, truth and lie, and so on. And so one is going to win. It's either going to be antimatter, which looks just like matter. It's kind of like almost just like it, only it's just the opposite. And one's going to win. And right now, no one can figure out. No scientist can figure out. They just know it's happening, that there's antimatter that looks just like matter, but when they come together, they annihilate one another. One wins and one loses. And the interesting thing is that right now the universe is filled with matter. So the antimatter, which is still there, isn't bumping into the matter and eating it up and exploding it. But there's coming a day, and they know it's coming, when the antimatter will eliminate the matter, or the matter will eliminate the antimatter. So what is it that keeps us, and it's real obvious to me, what is it that keeps us in perfect line with God's purpose for matter so that the antimatter doesn't take it? Remember it said that the light came into the world and the world didn't overcome it, didn't comprehend it, didn't understand it, can't get it, because these two do not know each other. When they come into, let's say you had light and dark, okay? See dark under my hand? Okay. Whoop, light one. Now you got the dark here. Whoop, light one. The light always beats the darkness, every time. Let's say you had a whole closet full of darkness. Boo. And you open it up. Whoop, the light will eat it up. The darkness won't come out and eat up the light. You know, I got so much darkness saved in this closet, I'm going to open it up. No, it gets all dark. It doesn't work that way. You can just take a little match and go into a closet, boom, it's all light. Light wins over darkness, okay? Truth wins over error. Matter wins over antimatter unless the matter decides to become lawless. Then the antimatter gets it. So as long as you stay within the Word of God and you're lined up with it perfectly, in other words, you do what God destined you to do, you will survive forever. But the minute you get off, you're destroyed. So this world is heading for judgment or destruction. Armageddon, doesn't matter what you call it. But it's heading for a kind of antimatter destroying all the matter. Unless you could be born again. Line up with, because this world only lasts so long and it's over. Has a beginning, has an ending, it's over. And so that's judgment. Then the antimatter eats up all the, you know, matter, and then they both are gone. Because as soon as one eats the other one, they're both gone. Isn't that fun? And they're building these big, you know, cyclotron things, you know. They got one. They're just about to open it up, by the way. They're building them so they can study particles colliding. And so they can understand how the world was, you know, created in the first place. And they can replicate it to a degree. But they got one in Switzerland now that's seven times the one we have here, you know, in the United States. We got several of them, but we got a big one in Long Island. And they got one even bigger. Goes 300 feet underground and goes 2.5 miles around. And these little things go at, you know, super speeds, incredible speeds, seven times faster than anything we have now. So they're hoping to learn something about the matter, antimatter. How they know they both exist. They just don't know how they how they coexist. You know, how, why doesn't one bump into the other and destroy each other? So they're running these things around these little circles, you know, real fast. That fast. How fast was that? You know, so they have little, they have new names for time and all this stuff. But anyway, and then they collide and make, you know, big deals. Now, the Bible, forget all the science. The science will never catch up. By the way, science will never learn anything. It's not going to learn. I'm sorry. All they're going to learn is more questions. They're not going to come up with answers. They'll say, oh, we're just about to get it. Yeah, get what? You don't know anything about origin. You know nothing about destiny. You know nothing about purpose, and you never will and never can. Period. Over. Out. That's it. So, but we know all of that. We know where we came from. We know where we're going, and we know why we're here. You see that? But only if you're lined up right. Now, I want to tell you today how to line up right so that you are shalom. That's a Hebrew word for peace. You are at peace. In other words, let's say this was the measuring stick of the universe. This is what the universe is built on, okay? And the Bible calls that the logos, the word, okay? And everything is lined up to that word. And if you're in line with that word, the antimatter doesn't get you. But if you fall out of line, the antimatter gets you, okay? So if you stay in line under God's law, under His rule, under His wisdom, under His, the way He lines you up, the order you're in. And everything in the ancient world, all the writings, they all say what I just said. You got to line up with the law, whether it's the Hebrew or the Greek or the Roman or the whoever. They all have the same idea. They're not all over the map. They just like what I just said. So science today is only concluding what we've known all along. There's nothing new under the sun. Absolutely nothing new. And all that nonsense that a lot of the liberals teach and so on, it's all nonsense. The liberals are idiots. I mean, there's nothing wrong with their brains. There's just something wrong with their moral character. There's nothing wrong with their brains. There's just something because they don't want to say the Bible's right. Why? Because they can't prove it. Why? Because God doesn't want to prove it. You can't prove it. How could a mortal figure out the immortal? How could you with your little pea brain figure out God? So that's why God is unknown to science. So don't make science figure out God, because it couldn't. Even if it looks at something that was God, it wouldn't know what it was. It would have to reduce it to its own matter. So that's why it'll never figure it out. Never. So it has to be revealed to you by this logos. If this logos, if this original rock by which everything is measured, if this were irrational, you couldn't figure it out because you didn't know how to figure out something out that's irrational, because it's irrational. It's just erratic. It goes all over the place. It's chaotic. It doesn't have any rhyme or reason to it. But let's say it's logical. It's logical in some way. It makes sense, has meaning, has purpose, has direction, has an origin, has a destiny, all of that. Well, how am I supposed to understand that if it's impersonal? That's the, you know, what's one of those thing, those movies they make today with the Force and all that nonsense. That's all stupid. Stupid. L stupid. That's stupid. Okay. Because that happens to be personal. It's not, I'm going with the Force. That's stupid. Y'all understand that? That's stupid. I just wanted to say that. All right. Now, there is no such thing. You can't line up with God impersonally. It's got to be a personal revelation that God, who was in Christ, came down on earth at a certain point. That's the question they're asking him. How will we know when this kingdom of God you're talking about comes? And the answer was, he didn't say this here, but he did say it, when I come. And he's the guy they're talking to. You're talking to the guy. I am the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is wherever I am. I'm the king. I'm the son of the king, and I've come to announce it. And wherever I show up, there's holy presence. There's a merciful gospel, and there's powerful confirmation of everything I say and do. So when Jesus came into the world, he basically was saying, line up with me or you perish. The antimatter will eat you up. That's what he's basically saying. If you don't line your family up, for example, all kinds of things you can do to mess your family up. If you don't line your person up, for example, you don't have faith. If you don't line your life up, and it's not love, it's hatred, you're going to be eaten up, destroyed, period. You cannot survive in this world if you break all of God's laws. So this law of God came down personally, not as an abstract, impersonal, crazy kind of thing, and said to men who were both uncertain of everything. People don't know anything. People don't know anything. All that they know just makes them know less about more. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. That's all they're going to find out is more questions. Oh my gosh, now they found out there's a wall out there in the universe. There's holes out there. And the more they study and think, well, we're almost on it. On what? We're almost there. Well, good. Tell me when you come up with something. They're never going to come up with anything except more questions. How come? Because Jesus came down to earth. He was upstairs. You know, he was all bunched up in this little rock thing. And he walked downstairs and said, "Hi, everybody. Thought you were a little bit miserable. Thought I'd bring you some good news." So this good news that he's come to reveal is, line up with me. Well, do we have to obey? You do. Okay, now I'm going to give you a little secret. But there's two kinds of obedience. One kind is called under the law. That's the kind where matter gets eaten up by antimatter in a little while. So if you obey the law and you're perfect with it, you perish. Did y'all hear that? If you obey the law and you stay right in line, the antimatter doesn't get you till you die. And then the minute you die, you perish. Well, I just told you it has a beginning and an end. You have a beginning and end. And if you obey the law, you can stay alive for a little while, but the antimatter is right there to get you when you die. It just eats you right up. So the antimatter is just waiting. How many know that when people die, they get eaten up? The worms devour them and so on, and they just start eating you up. Amen? Y'all aware of that? You ever see a dead person with worms all over them? I have. They just eat you right up. I found my neighbor in the backyard a number of years ago, and they can just, you know, they didn't know where he was, and there he was right there. You can just, you know, check those things out. It's not too pretty or anything, but, you know, the antimatter was getting him, eating him up. You all understand? It's good stuff. Keep it simple. Okay, so anyway, Jesus comes downstairs, and nobody knew who God was. And he said, "Hey, by the way, I'm God's son. In fact, I'm God. I'm not only the son, I'm God. And I like to make everybody here into, you know, I'd like to recreate you, because otherwise the antimatter is going to get you when you die. Law of sin and death. You sin, you die. You get outside the law. How many know you can't keep the law? I mean, sooner or later, you're supposed to be lined up with the law, but you start wiggling. If you wiggle, they get you. How many know if you wiggle at all? Whoop, ah, whoa, woo, you know, and they can just get you if you're just out of line a little bit. I mean, if you get out of line, you get a bad thing. Some destruction comes. So that's what we teach children. Stay in line. You know, organize yourself the way I say. And if you don't, you take off your belt and, you know, you're not going to destroy them, but you're going to destroy their willfulness. You hear what I'm saying? Now, if you're a bad parent, you're lawless and you won't do it. If you're a bad parent, like America is today, America today is full of a lot of people who don't want to keep the law. They want to be anarchic, you know, want to do stupid stuff, utopian stuff, you know, like have a welfare state or something. Stupid. Not going to work. It's not going to work. You can't play government and church in the same breath. One is anti to the other. Jesus said, you love the Father, you hate this world. You love this world, you hate the Father. I mean, they're anti to each other. Can't do both. Can't serve God and mammon. So I don't care what kind of a deal you try to work out, that's the law, and it'll get you. So he's saying, line up. Here's one thing he says. Seek first. First thing you do, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, I'm shalom. I'm at peace when I'm right with the rock, the standard, the law, whatever it is that's up there. But this is not really a law. It's like a law, but it actually is personal and it has mercy in it. So number two up there saves it from number one. I thought holiness meant me being holy. That would be the law. But I found out that actually there's two kinds of obedience. One is try to keep the law. The other is you can't. How many are still working on the first one, trying to keep the law? How many are still doing that one? Let's see if we can't be holy like Jesus is. Be holy as I am holy. Be perfect as I am perfect. How many are still doing that one? It doesn't work. I thought I'd just save you about, you know, a lot of unhappiness and misery. Your marriage is not going to work. Your job is not going to work. Your brains are not going to work. Nothing's going to work unless you realize that you don't have the ability to make it work. You are not smart enough. You'll never know anything with certainty. You'll never know anything with clarity, with finality. I don't care how much you know, you aren't going to know enough. So you're never going to figure it out. Even though, look, there's something out there moving something, doing something, the unmoved mover or something like that. Yeah, but you don't know anything about it. Well, that's true. So what did Aristotle discover? Nothing. Aristotle, he thought, okay, I'm not going to speculate on something way upstairs. I think I'll just deal with the stuff downstairs. Cool. How are you going to do that? Well, I think the only reality, if there is any reality, is downstairs here. So you look around for the DN code, you know, the little DNA thing. Yeah. There's a beginning and an end. Big deal. So what? What's yours? I don't know. Because you never figure it out. I don't care how much you study that code, it won't answer any of your questions. You still don't know where you came from, where you're going, and why you're here. Science cannot answer particulars. What if God is particular? What if he's not just universal? What if he's particular? Well, then science can't deal with it. Then it's some kind of historical phenomena that came in time. Jesus sat here until time. How many know that Jesus was here scrunched up in his little, you know, that little rock thing? He was just scrunched up here, and the whole world was built around him. He laid this foundation. Remember it says, and it was a stone laid in Zion. Before the world began, here's Jesus all scrunched up here. Jesus, wait. Okay, how long? So just wait till I tell you. Okay. So Jesus is all scrunched up like a spring ready to explode. And then the Father, 2,500 years later, little slight time problem there, he said, okay, now's the time. And Jesus said, I can't move. I'm scrunched up. And I can't move right now. I cannot get up. So finally he came downstairs and he said, hey, here I am. And the minute what they wanted to do is kill him. Everybody wanted to kill him. Because he was the secret to all matter existing. Did you know the whole world exists because God's still speaking? We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If God was not speaking, the world would be dead. They don't know. They can never figure out the glue. What holds it together? Where's the gravity thing? What pulls all these particles together? Why do the neutrons not explode? Why do the protons not, you know, why do they do what they do? Is one unstable, the other stable? They don't know. All they know is there's something like that, and they're looking at it. They're looking right at it, but they can't figure it out. Because where did it come from? Where's it going? And why is it here? They don't know. So Jesus came down and answered it. Remember when Paul went to Mars Hill? He said, hey, you Greek guys, you think a lot, but you know what? You don't know anything. You got an unknown God. I bumped into him on the way in. He had a little statue there, Zeus. You had Zeus and, you know, all those silly ones. But you also had one called an unknown God. I know him. I just thought I'd tell you. And they went, you're crazy. Let's kill him. You know, because people hate someone coming in being a smart aleck and knowing more than you. You know, when somebody knows more than you do, you hate them. Did you know that? I mean, it's just something in us that if I don't know about it, I don't like you. I don't like people that are not exactly like me. And when I find somebody that's exactly like me, I really hate them too. You know, so I'm pretty much full of hatred. So that's about it. And that shows a problem right there. But anyway, Jesus came down and immediately they wanted to kill him. Kill that guy. He's saying stupid stuff. No, he was the only one that was right. He was trying to turn us all right side up so that we wouldn't perish when the whole thing came to an end. So I don't care if you believe me or not. I'm just telling you, it's coming to an end. Science never before even admitted that there was a beginning. They made guesses, but they were just guesses. Now they are solid on this. There was a beginning. We don't, and they can't go back there and, you know, do an experiment. How many know that they can't go back 3 billion years ago and do an experiment? You all aware of that? So there's a problem there. But they can boil water at 212 15 times. But but going back and starting the world all over again, that's harder for them. Can't be done. And they can't wait around till the end either, because they don't know when it's coming. So they're really ignorant. Do you see how ignorant people are? Educated people are the most ignorant of all. At least uneducated people don't know enough to know that they probably should know more. So they just, you know, lean out the window and swear at people because they don't know any better. They don't know. They just get drunk every day, go to work, come back, watch TV, have a little something or other on the side, and then that's about it. There's not much to their lives, but the rest of us are driven to be intelligent. How many here are intelligent? You wouldn't be here if you weren't. You know, this is an intelligent church, you know. We say stuff here. I mean, we say stuff like you're evil, stuff like that. That's intelligent. So you don't know what you're doing, stuff like that. You can go to any church and get normal stuff, but we give abnormal stuff here. Now, God comes down, number one, and his holy presence blows everybody away, and all the antimatter wants to eat him up. Because he is something that neither matter nor antimatter get along with. He's totally different. He's from another world, another planet. He's somewhere else. We can't figure him. Our little pea brains and our little consciences and moral things, and we just can't get into it. He's bigger. Is greater. So when he comes downstairs, they're naturally going to ask him questions because they were the religious people. How many know that religious people are really smart? You know, scientists are okay smart, but religious people, they know all about the whole poop on the universe. They got the skinny on the whole thing. So they can dig into stuff really, really invisible. That's big stuff. How many know that's big? So religious people tend to speak with authority, whereas scientists are kind of limited. But religious people could say things like, "You're going to hell," stuff like that. Amen. Have you ever said that to somebody? You know, "You're going to hell. You're Catholic, aren't you? You're going to hell." And then the Catholics, they got one on you. "You're going to hell first." You know, and so that's the way we did it as little kids. I don't know if any of you did that, but that's the way we did it. If you were Catholic, then you thought the Protestants were completely irrational and stupid, and they were going to hell. And we thought you Catholics were. So, you see, we had arguments about that. And, yeah, you believe in this. Yeah, you believe in that, and so on. Well, Jesus came down, and he wanted to clarify everything so that everybody would know he's going to tell you the whole truth. I mean, there won't be any truth left. It even says it like this: "I am the truth." It's like, whoa, you know, what is that? And so the Jews had an idea. The guy says he's the truth. He says he's from upstairs. He says he's not from this world. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll kill him because that's a this world thing. And if he dies, we win. So, it's a big risk though. What if he doesn't, you know? What if we try to kill him and then we can't? What if he muscles us down? But he looks like us. What do you think? Yeah, I think we could kill him. How about if we all gang up? Yeah, that'll get him. So that's intelligent. How many know that's intelligent? You can kill God's son. He claims he's God's son, but we know he's not. So they all ganged up together and decided, they had kind of like a Sanhedrin, the little gathering, and they decided, let's kill him. And if he doesn't die, we're wrong. And so we'll lose our shirts. And Nicodemus told him, "Hey, I wouldn't do it." And Nicodemus voted against the rest of the Sanhedrin. I mean, know that. The guy said, "No, if this guy's of God, you can't kill him. But if he's not of God, you don't need to. The guy will just fail because he's not of God. You guys are idiots." So that was Nicodemus. And Joseph of Arimathea, you know, he was kind of sitting on the sideline. "I don't know, I'm not going to get into this one." You know, but the rest of them were determined. Let's kill the guy. And then they did. They did. They killed him. And boy, it looked like antimatter beat up matter. Or it looked like somehow they killed the guy, and he must have been just human. How many know he had a human mom? But he didn't have a human dad. So there it was. So 2 days later, on the third day, he jumps up. And nobody, I mean, not even his disciples, they were sad. When they killed him, they were sad, weren't they? They were like, yeah, we thought he was the one. It looked like he was. I was really into it. I was into it. I liked him. I liked him a lot. So they were talking it over, and they were kind of sad. And Jesus shows up. Hey, guys. And they didn't recognize him. First of all, he's dead. I mean, when somebody's dead, you don't expect him to show up, you know, walk next to you. But he had a little hood over him or something. I don't know, because they couldn't recognize him. I don't know why they couldn't. Just lift the hood. Boo, who are you? You know, but they didn't do it. And then he began talking, and they began thinking to themselves, who is this? He's talking weird, strange. And then when he showed himself, Thomas wasn't there. He didn't believe it. How many would be like Thomas? You're not going to be a believer. Man, I'd have been right there as a pastor. I would have known. No, we'd have all doubted. If you don't see it with your own eyes, because that tells you the truth. When you see something with your own eyes, that's the truth in this world. In this world. You can't go by your eyes. You can't walk by sight. You can't study the DNA and figure. You don't know anything. You don't know what you're talking about. Because this, it could be there's a mystery here. Something bigger than this world. And that's what Jesus was saying. I've come from another world. You're from below, I'm from above. You're from below, I'm from above. And I'm the only one. There isn't any more. That's me. Well, what about Buddha? Well, he's halfway there, but he's not from the other world. It's only halfway. How many know that Buddha's only halfway? No. Buddha doesn't exist at all. He's just a figment of somebody's imagination. What about Muhammad? Nothing. He's just a guy that's an idiot. So all of those religions, which are so big today, huge, got billions of people behind them. So, doesn't make them true. How many know a billion people doesn't make it true? 2 billion, 5 billion, 7 billion, 12 billion. It doesn't make any difference. Truth is truth. So the whole thing is, Jesus was killed, but he just jumped up again. And he didn't show himself to any of the people that didn't believe in him. He showed himself only to his own followers. There's a way to get you in trouble. That'll get you in trouble because you're going and saying to the guy, we saw him, yeah? Produce him. Habeas corpus. Produce the body. It could be a little bit hard. Because Jesus deliberately only showed himself to his own people. I mean, there's 500 of them. Over 500. That saw him afterward. But none of the Jewish people, they never saw him. Well, we didn't see him. If he really wanted to prove himself, he should have shown himself to us. Then we'd have been scared. But now we're not scared now. We killed him and he's killed. And you guys are just making it up. How many know that people lie all the time? And how can you prove it? How can you tell when someone's lying? Let's say I do a miracle. Let's say I say I'm a pastor, and to prove it, I do a miracle. What miracle would I do that would prove it? Let's say I had the ceiling fly off right now. Just had it fly off. And then God would stick his hand down here. Would that prove it? I'll do it if you want. All right, how about just the roof flying off without the hand? Would that prove it? Because we don't want the hand coming down. It'll crush us all. What would prove it? Well, there isn't anything, because we're still talking earth. How do you know who that is, and why would I believe that? So anyway, what they did was they killed him. But you know what? God used that. God always likes to have a disadvantage. He always likes to say something, and there's no way you can know. Now look at number three. Number three is the way to confirm the word you just said in number two. If you worship God based on number one, it's not pure worship. If you saw Jesus was a good man, a lot of people admit that. Even Muhammad said Jesus was a good man. In fact, Muhammad said Jesus was a better man than me. How many know that Muhammad had a lot of wives and a lot of kills and a lot of stuff? Jesus killed nobody. He was killed, but he didn't kill anybody. And he didn't even take a wife. He just betrothed the girl and said he'd be back in a little while as soon as she cleaned up and he got the house finished. So he's finishing the house and we're cleaning up. How many know we're almost there? We're just about ready, are we not? Are we not almost ready for his coming back? He just about got the house ready. I got her ready. Y'all, my bride? Where's my bride? Bride! She's with another guy right now. I'll call her. You know, it's, whoa, where's my bride? Now, Jesus knows exactly where we are, and he's not gonna come. He's not coming tonight. Amen? He's going to send the Antichrist first, the antimatter guy. He's going to send him first to, get things stirred up a bit. How many know that the Antichrist only rules for 3.5 years? So it's not too bad. It's not too bad. How many can suffer 3.5 years? I mean, what's that? That's like a college education. I mean, that's nothing. It'd just be like a camping trip. How many know that would, it's a gig. It's nothing. How many could hold out? Whoa, whoa, get back here. How many could hold out? Whoa, what happened to the thing? Hey. How does this work? Larry, come and save me here. Oh, I see him. I think it goes on there. Out in tape land. Wait a minute. Don't get electrocuted.
You didn't even jump on the queue.
All right. Praise God. I feel that was a small sin. It wasn't a big one. All right. Now, number one, if you worship Jesus because he's a holy man or a good man, Jesus was a good man. He was a good man. That kind of worship is purely idolatry. Because a man is good. I'm sure Buddha was good. I'm sure, Muhammad was a nice guy every once in a while. It doesn't mean anything. How many know that that kind of worship is just pure idolatry? Number three, Jesus does miracles. He does signs and wonders. He says something, walks on water and stuff. It's impressive to people because they'd never, ever seen anybody walk on water. I have tried it myself. It does not work. I've tried it. I've tried it slowly, walking in slowly like that. Then I've tried it running real fast, see, like that. And I've tried it, yelling Jesus while I run in. And, I've tried it so many ways. I cannot walk on water. And he said, greater things than these will you do. And I've tried it. I'm still not up to that yet. Is there anybody here who has done that? I don't know where the rocks are, and I don't know how he did that. I'll tell you what, those are hard things that he did. And yet, Jesus said, you believe me because I fed you. You believe me because I walked on water, turned water into wine, whatever. That's why you believe me. I don't want that. I want number two only. The only way the kingdom is going to come is that you are a wicked, nasty sinner, and I'm going to forgive you. That's the only way you're getting in. You can't be number three that says, okay, I'm innocent, I've been a victim, and Jesus, when you did that miracle, you set me free from the bad people. Thank you. That kind of worship Jesus doesn't want because there's nobody innocent. And he doesn't do those miracles to prove that you're innocent, like get Israel out of Egypt or, get us out of Afghanistan or whatever. No, that's not what he's going to do. He wants you to recognize you are not innocent and pure, and he's just going to deliver you. That's why he sent him into Babylon. He said, okay, you want to sin? You want to keep breaking my law? You want to not believe me? I'm going to send you into Babylon. So they went into Babylon, and they've been happy there ever since. Y'all recognize that? The Jewish people have gone all over the world. God was trying to punish them, and they went and had a ball. They've made more money. They have flourished. I don't care where you send them. They just go right into business, do a great job of being cursed by God. It apparently hasn't worked too well. Because when he finally said, come back to Israel, they didn't want to come. Are you following what I'm saying? So what's it to be cursed by God? What is a curse? Because the Jewish people, they don't envy us. I'll just tell you something right now. They are not trying to get in the door. Our mercy will show them, make them jealous. They're not jealous right now. They like what they got, and they're not interested in what we get. In fact, they don't even respect us. Y'all understand that? They don't. So we haven't impressed them yet. You know why? Because this number two is not the way we're approaching them. They don't see our mercy. They may see that you're rich too, or you're smart, or you control the deals or whatever. But that doesn't impress them. They're not yet broken to the point where they realize we're wicked and sinful like the Gentiles. That's us. We are as wicked as they are. God, don't deliver us from, anti-Semites. Deliver us from our own wickedness. They haven't gotten to that point yet. How many know they're not weeping over the fact that they pierced Jesus? But they will. In fact, in our day now. Right now. And we're going to be part of that. Are you all ready? But you can't go through one where, because Jesus was a nice guy, we're going to be nice guys. How many know you're not going to be a nice guy? You're a hypocrite, you're a liar, you're a legalist. It's just soulish. It's not done from the heart. And so you want to go that route of being under the law, that's not going to impress Jewish people. Hey, we're wearing two beanies. That isn't going to impress them. And we have 17 festivals. They don't care. They don't, that is not what they're looking for, is that you be a decent guy. Hey, I was nice to this person the other day, and they appreciated me. It's not what they're looking for. What they're looking for, you're not going to be able to give to them. I'm going to just tell you something right now. You want to win this world, you got to suffer. You're not suffering because you're innocent. You're suffering because you're guilty. And that fire is good for you. That punishment is good for you. How many, okay, I'm just going to ask a question to make everybody guilty. How many, as soon as you leave the church today, you're not even going to go and eat. You're going to immediately go home and open your Bible, start reading a chapter or two, and giving praise to God to spend the Sunday in adoration and praise and thanksgiving to God. How many? I mean, that's what you want to do. I mean, that's deep in you. Boy, I can hardly wait to get out of this service so I can go and worship God. No. Everybody wants to do their own thing and have a good time and so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I'm just telling you the truth. You don't love Jesus. You just love you. You're just using Jesus. You're using the guy. Hello? Hello? Is there anyone out there? Any antimatter? Now, Jesus doesn't care. He knows how wicked you are, and you're proving it. But that's okay. What he wants you to do is realize he doesn't love you because you did number one. You're a hypocrite. He doesn't love you because you're worshiping him under number three. He doesn't want that worship. There's only one kind of worship that's pure, and that is number two, where because of what Jesus did on the cross for you, what he did, and before you saw it, or any sign or any wonder, resurrection, all that stuff, before that, you believed. Just based on his word alone, with no sign, no wonder, no nothing. You just believe. Blessed are those that believe without seeing. Blessed are you if you don't see, Thomas. So, says, oh, if I could see his hands and so on and so forth, then I might believe. Well, he doesn't want that kind of belief. This pure worship is totally by faith. And any power of the Holy Spirit that happens doesn't prove this. It's just simply evidence that you really believe. It's just evidence that you really believe. You are a wicked person, and even after you're a Christian, your soul is still wicked to the hilt. How many know that when you leave the church today, you won't be nice? As soon as you get in the park, as soon as you hit the door, you're gonna, you'll be already yelling and arguing. I don't want to go there to eat. You take me to a better place. You'll be arguing. You gave too much in the offering. You'll be arguing. You will have lost all your religion by the time you get down the hall. Amen? Now, God is not mad at that. He just wants you to realize two is the only door you can go through. The three is just simply the fact that you believed in two. It isn't the thing you want. Like, oh, if we could go to a church where they had, 10,000 members and signs and wonders and, marble bathrooms, if we could just go there, we would be fulfilled. You won't be. What you need is the truth, and that's why they killed Jesus, because he told them the truth. Go through me as Savior. Don't worry about the Lord part. Don't worry about how much you love God and what a good Christian you are and how someday God will say, well done. Don't worry about that. How many know you cannot do that? You got to start the way he tells you to start. Number one, repent. Number two, believe. Number three, obey. But the obedience is not like number one under the law. It's like believing that Jesus Christ has already done everything that needs to be done so that I can rejoice in his finished work. There's nothing more for you to do. When you obey, it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. It's his Holy Spirit doing it. Don't take any credit. It's not you. You're not a wonderful person. You're not number one person. You're not nice like Jesus. You're not perfect and you never will be. Well, I pray someday, Pastor, I'll be like you and get up at 6 in the morning and have 4 or 5 hours prayer. You're never going to beat me. I'll get up at 3. You're not going to beat me. I'm not giving that spot up. Peggy can tell you, I get up early. Where is she? Peggy, tell him what time I get up. I only get 4 or 5 hours. I go to bed, I'm praying, studying. I get up, I'm praying and studying. I'm working night and day for you. Do you know that? Do you feel ashamed of yourself now? Admire me a little bit? No, no. But that's the truth. I don't do it. I'm not wanting to do it. I hate that. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, says, get up. And you know why I get up? Because he immediately gives me a revelation, and I cannot go to sleep. And, you know, what he shows me is like, wow, I didn't know that. And if I go back to sleep, I will not remember that revelation that he just gave me that was so remarkable that I'd never forget it. But if I went back to sleep, I would forget it. I found that out. It's, you know, if God gives you something, you got to get up. And I'm even telling God, God, you know, I'll remember this. No, you won't. Get up right now. I don't want to get up right now. Okay, I'll get up right now, but I'm going to hate you. It's going to at least be a half an hour before I like you. And when you get up, so, you know, I get up. I take my little pillow with me because I know once you get up, you're not going to be able to go back to bed again, right? So I take my pillow so I don't wake Peggy up, who's snoring and trying to keep me awake anyway. And I go into the living room after I've written down the thing that God told me, and I just can't sleep. I just lay there like that, you know. I think, I want to be shot for the next day. But that happens day after day after day after day. But look, God wants you to know there's two different kinds of obedience. The one kind is number one, and the other kind is number two. A soulish, soul-based, that is, works-based righteousness is not acceptable to God. Only a spiritual, faith-based, heart-filled righteousness is acceptable to God. Most of your works, most of your obedience is not spiritual. It's not done out of pure love. It isn't based on pure worship. It doesn't result in pure worship. A lot of your works are just human. They're downstairs works. They're not from the heart. That is something natural man can never do, something from the heart. The Greeks don't even have a word for that. They only know soul and body. So all their works are soulish. And when they speak of spirit or heart or something, they're just simply meaning soul. Because they think everything is rational mind. So the Greeks are stupid. That's TCU over here. SMU in Dallas. Those are not intelligent, you know, places. The only thing you can come up with if you go to one of those schools is you're dumb. That's all you could only graduate and say, I don't know anything. That would be, but they don't. They come out arrogant. They come out thinking, hey, I got 4 years behind me. I can get a job now. I'm going to get married now, and I'm going to have a good time. You learned the wrong thing. You should have learned in there that there's so much more to the universe that you don't even have a clue to, and even if you did, for example, when I was going to school, I worked twice as hard as everybody, twice as hard. And I wanted to get 7 degrees, and after the third degree, this intelligent thought came to me. It's like amazing. It's like, what do you want the other 4 degrees for? Show off, I guess. I mean, what do you need them for? You've already got double majors in the first 3 degrees you got. In other words, I could have declared one major or another, so I already had 2 degrees, 2 degrees, 2 degrees. I already had 6 degrees, really. What do you need another one for? It's just a game. I could stay in school my whole life. I mean, I just could. And Peggy was threatened. You know, Jim, when are you going to work? It's like, why work when you go to school? Man, this is great. I'm discovering the secrets of the universe. And you're worried about bread. You know, Peggy wanted to stop working. That kind of thing. Remember your place, your position, Peg. Help mate. I'm the mate, you're the help. I mean, it's clear. And so I don't know why she saw through that. She saw through that. You still haven't? No, you have not. It took her a number of years. Thank God for choosing right. So when you get married, you got to choose right. So I was having fun not doing anything. It was great. And I loved school. It was just a game, just pure game. I was going to do 2 degrees at a time, 2 PhDs at a time. So I had 3. All I had to do was go through 2 more, seasons to get 4 more degrees then. So I'd take 2 at a time. And so my problem was I couldn't figure out which direction would I go. Was I going to raise chickens when I grew up? Or was I going to solve cancer? Or was I going to be a spiritual theologian or whatever? I knew I could do anything. Or should I be a choreographer? I wasn't really sure exactly what direction I should go in. No, I'm serious. These things are big to me, It could go in different directions. And the further you go, the more intelligent you cease to be, because I could not figure it. What am I going to do? So it just shows what good education is. But anyway, Jesus came down and he said, I want you to go through this gate right here, number 2. Do not go through 1, because you're a hypocrite and a liar right there. That's just soulish. Yourself is still alive. That's why number 2 is so great. Because yourself has to be dead to believe that someone else that you don't, you never saw him, you never met him, even the disciples who saw him, what good did it do? Judas, he didn't understand him. Peter didn't even understand him. And he even gave the right answers. Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, do you know what that means? And Peter didn't. He is ready to defend him and cut off a guy's ear and stuff. He didn't understand. How many know Peter didn't get it? And the other 10 ran away. I mean, when they saw that, that Jesus was going to be dragged away, they took off. You know what I'm saying? Which group would you have been in? The betrayers, the deniers, or the flyers? Those that fled. Which group would you be in? You would have fled? Fled, yeah. That's a better one. I mean, you don't want to be a denier, and you don't want to be a betrayer. But anyway, Jesus would have forgiven anybody anything at any time. But they didn't understand what he was saying was, you're sinners. Don't change yourself because you can't. How many have tried to erase 3 or 4 sins in your life? I mean, you've made an attempt. I've smoked. I've got to stop that. I'm not going to smoke anymore. And you feel proud of that. But you are the one that did it. So you're still proud. So you didn't solve anything. Want to stop eating? Cool. It's good. Good answer. Good idea. But you know what? You're still not going to heaven. Okay, I'm going to stop swearing. Okay, good. Very good one. Peggy has hardly, she's not hardly doing it at all. But you still don't go to heaven. I mean, you don't go to heaven because you're good or because you cease to do bad things outwardly. You're going to go because you're a sinner. Even if you're not practicing it outwardly, God sees your heart. It's not pure. Do you all know that you have an impure heart? And if you're driving along and somebody does something wrong, you will judge and criticize that person. I mean, no. Come on, let's see. Show of hands. I mean, you didn't do anything wrong, but you see somebody else and a little glee comes over you. Ha ha! That's why I'm better. That just completely cancels out all the good chips you had right up until then. You will have to light candles for a long time to make up for that because you rejoiced in a wrong. You see? Well, I don't have the ability to, I'm not strong. Like Peggy's very strong. Peggy can actually hardly ever sin outwardly. Whereas I am an outward sinner. I don't have any protection at all. I just sin. And when I do it, it's bold. It's very bold. So I'm not good at hiding them at all. If she just even, you'd love this, Crystal. If she just even makes a small criticism of me, I'm just kill. I just kill. What are you doing? I'm the pastor. And I love that. I love getting her, getting even. Is anyone like that? Anyone like that? Am I the only one? Oh, it's two people. Okay. Praise God. You're like that? You like that? Praise God. And you know, I'm not good. And you know, and then she'll say, well, you know, if people saw you know, they would never come back. I said, well, don't tell. Try to sit in the front row. And I don't like it that she's back at the third row here because Barbara can look back and see her. No. God doesn't want us not to be sinners. I'm going to say it again because I know you'd never heard that before. Don't worry about the fact that you're a sinner. Only worry about this. This is all he's asking. Do you know who Jesus is? Forget who you are. Do you believe that Jesus came downstairs full of energy, full of spiritual, heavenly, not earth kind of energy with the expanding universe thing? He came down and he said, I am. You am not. You am not. You don't have any am. I am. And Moses said that to the Pharaoh, and he said, I asked God what his name was, and he said, I am. How many know that is a cool answer? Now who is it? Now who exactly, what, just give me the guy's name. Who is it? I am. I know, but what's his name? I am. And that just made him an idiot. That made, you know, I am that I am. That helped. You see, if you kind of double it like that. Tell him I am that I am sent you. So when Jesus comes along, he says, I am, you am not. You're not. You don't exist. Yes, you have temporal existence, but the antimatter is going to eat you up. You're only living for a few, you know, nanoseconds in the universe time. Y'all understand that? Then the antimatter eats you up. Used to be 120 years, then it got down to 70 or 80, and now we're trying to move it back up again. But it's hard to beat God's little system there. I mean, no, it's hard to beat his system. Some people are dying early. Some people are dying in their 50s, you know, especially those guys that work out. Have you ever noticed that? The guys that work out and eat all the green stuff and the orange stuff, and they turn orange and stuff, and they're dying. They're dying, and they work out every day. And they're amazed always, is, you know, it's amazing. My mom ate nothing but cookies, ice cream, and crackers. She lived to be 87. I warned her, Mom, you're going to die. As she's munching out a cracker, she says, well, I haven't so far. And she was right. She was right. But I knew she was going to die. You can do all the wrong things and still survive. You know, one thing about my mom, she loved Jesus. I don't care, I'm having fun. Well, Mom, that you're a sinner. You're supposed to be doing right. She said, Jesus Christ has forgiven me all my sins. You're not going to put that on me. So my mom could defend herself from me. There's no way I could get to her. Mom, you're unreasonable. You're not submitted. Be quiet. I brought you into this world. So it's good. It's good to have a mom. You all have moms? Has anybody here had a mom? Yeah, they're good. They're good to have. So God is saying to us right here. Now, here's the story today. It said a whole bunch of things, but here's the part I want to bring out. Two guys went up in the temple. One was a Jew, a very good one, number one. He was a number one. And he prayed like this. He got in there, and he saw that other guy right there. And when he saw the other guy, he was about to worship God, and he saw the other guy, so he added this to his prayer. I thank God that I'm not like other men. Don't you love that prayer? That is exactly the way we all pray. You just might not admit it. The way that guy prayed, he said, I thank God I'm not a woman. That was the first thing he prayed. That was a great blessing right there. He wasn't a woman. Do y'all understand that? That's still the Orthodox prayer. Thank God I'm not a woman. And second of all, thank God I'm not like this rotten, no good, goyim sinner. And he looked over at this guy who was a tax collector. The guy collected taxes on the Jewish people. And he said, this, he was just so disgusted with this guy. Well, that's a number one guy, see? And we all have that in it. All of us have that in us. Well, I may have sinned a little bit, but thank God I'm not as bad as so and so. You ever done that? You just looked at some pathetic, poor person. You said to yourself, my God, why is that person even living? That person should not even be taking up space. That person, and you just, does that ever come to you? That'll just flash into my mind. I don't know if it, how it comes to you. It'll just come right into my mind when I see somebody that's living in a pathetic way. They're whining, complaining, whatever their problem is. I can judge them just like that. Is there anybody else like that? I have that gift, I guess. I just have a gift of discerning. It's a spirit of discernment. And I can see right away, you do not deserve to live. I'm just quick at it. I don't say anything, but it's inside of me. It comes quickly. Is anybody as clever as I am like that? It just comes to me like that. I'm superior to that person. I can look down on that person. I can totally despise that person. And so I can look down on that person. Why is that? There's something in all of us. It's called pride. You know what that person I'm looking down on is thinking? Who does he think he is? And he's looking down on me from down under, as though he were above me, saying, what a hypocrite you are. Isn't that amazing? I mean, who are you to judge me? Is it scaring you? Okay. Whoa. So, what is it about pride? What is it about pride? We all have it. We all have it. We all have that pride. Everybody here has that. You're not going to go through number one. Anyway, he's always praying. God, I thank God that I'm not like this guy. I tithe twice a week. I do this, I do that. So, and he's going through all of the stuff he does to prove that he's not like that other guy, that he's better than that other guy. Have you ever, just laid in bed and thought about that? God, I know I haven't accomplished that much, but look at that other pathetic, poor person. Thank God I'm not like that. My sister-in-law, for example. And you can just kind of go through people you know and feel a lot better. Has anybody done that? Yes, I have this problem, but look at so and so, 10 times worse than me. You know what I mean? That makes you feel good. That makes you feel good. So it's good I don't know how you do this, if you kind of collect some people around you that are easy to judge, and you can just kind of, I don't know if some of you have that ability, just keep a kind of list going in your mind where you can judge that person. So this guy, the guy just walks right into the church, right into the synagogue, and he says, as he's praying, he looks, oh my God, he's here. God, I thank God. And he's right away, I thank God. And I bet he said this out loud. I thank God that I'm not like other men. I tithe. And he's wanting the guy to hear him. And the other guy says, he's there, he's a tax collector, he's sinful and wicked. And he comes into the same temple. He doesn't even belong in there. It's causing really problems. But he comes in, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Beats his breast. Whatever that guy's saying, I'm worse. He's not even touching me. I am 50 times, gazillion times worse than what he's even saying. How is that guy going to get in on a number one? He can't even play the game. He can't even get in there because he knows what that religious person just said is true. And this election thing is great because you get to make a lot of judgments. You do. I mean, it's easy to pick out, and everybody's hating everybody. They're unfair. They're picking on so and so. That is such a cool one. How many know that you have a right to judge people that are judging too harshly? So I'm judging that person because they're judging way too harshly. How many know we can do that? And so everybody can play this game, which is so neat. Who can look down on and despise the other person who's looking down on despising the other person? And it's a great thing. But so this other guy didn't do it. He ended it right there. He didn't even disagree. He just simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm buying everything those people are saying. Whether they're right or wrong, I don't care. I know I'm not a victim. I'm not victimized by this world. I am a culprit. How many of you know that you're a culprit, even after you're Christian? I know you're the righteous of Christ. I know you're born again, but that's your spirit man. We're talking about your soul and behavior man, which everyone else sees. How many know that you are still not perfect? Now don't go there. Don't visit that. What Jesus wants, so the one man prayed the truth. I am not innocent. Now, I don't know how to do this. Is there anybody here who believes that you're better than somebody else? Is there anybody here? Thank you. Okay, you're the only one, apparently. So I'll just thank God for you, David. A man that will put his Bible on that thing and get it balanced like that, I think that's pretty good. You're okay. You're okay. So I'm not going to say what I was going to say. He honored the Word of God. You know, most of us don't want to admit that we really do despise and look down on other people, that we hate God. That, you know, it's a gift, people. It's a gift. You don't deserve it. It's a gift. It's a gift. You have nothing to brag on. You are as evil as anybody you can imagine. Just imagine anybody in the world. Because I know what you'd like is to have a little category of enemies out there that are really deserving of your judgment and criticism. Amen? Do you have anybody like that? Peggy? Peggy does? Don't say who it is. Just don't say. Don't. Because I have a guess. I have a guess who it might be. But with the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. See, I got my comebacks. I got my comebacks. So she has to be careful, you know, because I'm a ruthless player. I'll get even with her. I like us to stay even. That's what makes our marriage go. She gets me, I get her right back. You know, it's a beautiful arrangement. She doesn't enjoy it as much as I do. And she has a much meaner way of playing than I do. For me, it's kind of fun, but for her, it's not fun. It's serious. You know? You don't see that. This is good. All right, now, Jesus, he came to earth to be holy. The holiness doesn't help me because I'm not. So I got to confess that. Number two, if you're not holy under the law, you can only get in by faith in the fact that Jesus is holy. He is holy. And he says, Jim, I'm not holy for me, one. I'm holy for you, two. Oh, I'm believing that. Whoa, that, I never saw anybody like that. I always thought holy was against me, matter, antimatter. I always thought holy was against me. I wasn't holy because I have not lined up with Jesus at all. I'm way over here doing my own thing. Jim, where are you? I don't know. You know, remember he said, Adam, where are you? He's trying to find out where Adam is. Adam, where are you? Are you lined up with, are your molecules lined up with mine? Eating this apple right now. And so Adam and Eve were naked. How many know that when you're naked, you don't have any protection, you don't have any cover? Are you like that with God? Because God hates people that are clothed in their own fig leaf clothing. He likes you to be clothed in his righteousness, not your own. That's what he hates is, I hate it when you say you're good, or I hate it when you say you sin but you don't feel good about it. I hate that when you say that. When you are rotten and you're caught off guard, that's who you are. That other guy was fake. That's who you really are. Rotten to the core. How can you even have a marriage when two people are rotten? How can you have a marriage? How can you have friendship? How can you have a church when everybody's rotten? Amen? Do you all see the dilemma we've got? It's easy. Jesus has forgiven you. That's why he did it. He did it so we could all get together. Now I can love Peggy just the way she is. You know, I don't want her to change. I don't want her to stop whatever. Keep going. Do whatever you want to do. I love you just that way. Unconditional. No condition. Why? I don't know. That's the way Jesus treats me. When Jesus treats you that way, you then get like looking at the way he looks at it. And the way Peggy, the way Jesus looks at Peggy is totally different than the way I look at her. Totally. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. He's like antimatter to my matter. You see that? And he dissolves me. He just, you know, and there I'm gone. And he goes, Jim, trust me, I'm going to bump into you. No. You'll annihilate me. And he goes, no, it'll be good because you have flesh on you. Okay, take the flesh, but leave. What part are you leaving? Nothing. You don't have anything good. Oh, my God. Well, go to someone else for a while. Don't hit me right yet. Let me see somebody else who's annihilated first. It looks good. And, you know, I'm trying to stay alive. How many know that Jesus made me that way? He made me to self-preserve in this world. Keep alive, keep alive. I'm just going on that basis, trying to survive. How many are trying to survive? You're just trying to survive. You're just trying to survive. And he goes, no, I just want you to voluntarily let me annihilate you. Just obliterate you. How many know that is beautiful? The father that loves his son chastens him. Chastens him, leads him right into the fire to purify him by destroying all the flesh. No sin will be left. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be exciting? Debbie, wouldn't that? I mean, wouldn't that be great for your marriage? You sure? Yeah. I mean, Paul would be glad. And okay, and I know you don't want to do that, but I'm going to ask you something. Don't you think he deserves that? No, you know he doesn't. You know he doesn't. But you could love him for no reason at all, like Jesus does. So all you have to do is go through the obliteration thing where the little particle spins around like that, and it's gone. All the sin is gone. Beholding him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory to another degree of glory till it's all gone. How many want to wait till heaven to clean up? Keep a few of your favorite sins for now. Take them all the way to the end and at the last minute, ditch them. No, he wants to get rid of them this morning. Isn't that great? How many are ready this morning? Pastor, let the Holy Spirit obliterate me. Let the Holy Spirit obliterate all my matter till nothing matters, until I'm dead. That one man said, you know what? I'm no good. I need to be obliterated. I need to be destroyed. Have mercy upon me. Number two, have mercy upon me. You know what Jesus said? That man went home justified. The other not. Even though he did all those good things and did all that, it was purely soulish. None of it from the heart. The other man, from his heart, said, I'm unclean. There's no good in me. I'm vile. Jesus said, that pleases me. How many here would know you could improve your marriage not by getting better, but by admitting you're rotten? That would improve your marriage. If you said, Peg, you didn't do anything wrong. It's me. I'm terrible. It's awful. Rotten to the core. Forgive me. How many know that would help your marriage? Let's go ahead and start right now. I'm going to let Peggy go ahead and start on that. I'm going to let Peg start on that because, you know, I don't want to obliterate right here. Peg, do you want to do that? Do you want to say you're wicked, more wicked than I am? And more wicked? I thought you'd do an equal at least. You say you're more equal. Ah, I knew I could talk her into that. Okay, you know that's what makes a good marriage? You should be equally evil. Only God is good. None is good but God. No one else is good but God. Only God is good. Only, only, only. Only is like there ain't anybody else. So if you're only God is good, here's the question I want to ask you. What does good mean then to you? Here's what it means. That even though you've failed, number one, and you're not in a line with him, you're not at all lined up, you're going to perish. Even so, he doesn't want you to. And that's good. That he doesn't want you to perish, even though he's the one that has all the power and all the control, and he can cause you to perish under the law. He doesn't want you to perish under the law. It's his desire, always has been from the foundation of the world, that you live forever. Wow. Is there anybody that that touches? That touches me. Tommy? Okay, two of us. Nick? Suzanne? Good. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Anyone else? Who? Yes. I got two more. Three. Four. Five. Six. Yeah, I keep going. This is good. Because you know what? That personal, not impersonal, personal love affair with just you as you are, not you fixed up, not you the nice guy saying he's good, but the one that says, I'm no good, number two, I'm no good, but Jesus Christ has given me goodness, and I didn't earn it, I didn't do it, he did it for me only, because he loves me, and he is never going to ever leave me or forsake me, and no antimatter will ever touch me, because the one that is above matter and antimatter is Jesus, and he has put me in him. Just, and that was his decision. I said, Jesus, no, I should be obliterated. No, I don't want you to be. I want you to believe on me that I put you above both sin and good and everything. I put you above that. You're going to live forever. I'm going to take you home to my dad, and I'm going to marry you. So Jesus is going to marry or join himself to us forever just by believing. Just by believing. Whew. That is so incredible. All right, I've probably said enough. I love y'all. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you so that nobody gets you. And may the Lord make his face to shine, because he's happy with you, upon you, you personally. And may the Lord lift up his countenance, just his smile, upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. You're lined up right. You're righteous. Not by your own, but by his righteousness. He's clothed you with that. You're a new creation. You're no longer you trying to please God. You're you just resting in his finished work, giving off pure worship to God. Thank you, Jesus. And we ask this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen. Go in shalom, peace.